Welcome to the Rev Thinking Podcast, the creative and business minds behind the world's best studios in motion, production, and sound. Here, we believe the best way to deal with the future is to create it. I'm Tim Thompson. Today is a topic that's really close to my heart. There is so much that we do in this industry for others, running a business and delivering and bringing on employees and the care we give to them. But we honestly don't talk enough about the realm outside of our business, our personal life, our family life. But today is one of those moments we're gonna break that mold. Jenny Davis and Casey Smith are two mothers of MoGraph. Jenny is the founder and creative lead at Drek Studios in Toronto. And I recently got to visit her there and hear her story personally. It was great. And Casey Smith, not too far north of me here in Eugene, Oregon, is a motion designer and a TA at School of Motion. And these two ladies have found themselves in the middle of a revolution. And where better place to talk about a revolution than RevThink? We get to hear the story of what it meant to find their personal journey and need for this community that they've started, and hear and be inspired by other people at conferences that are being forward and talking about it. What they're doing together in the Mothers of MoGraph community group and the work that's possible coming up through their group. I'm excited to see where it's going to grow, and we want to be part of it in every way. But today, let's hear the story and get behind this amazing movement that's taking place. Welcome, Jenny Davis and Casey Smith.
You guys have started a wildfire. This is fun.
Casey started this. She posted a post on LinkedIn asking if there were any other mothers in motion graphics, which I don't know how much you are aware, but like motion graphics is, there's not a lot of women in motion graphics, especially when we had started. And finding mothers has been difficult.
It's like spotting a unicorn. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So, and it was kind of, she posted it about a week after Dash Bash, when, and I was like completely hyped up on everything that I had heard there. And I responded to her, and the rest is kind of history. I'd never met Casey before. We had a really great chat. And the next day,
best friends,
we launched this poll and we were like, we're doing this, and we had complete faith in one another that this was going to be something.
So Casey, what is it? What is it you were looking for when you posted that first poll? Or
I had been doing a lot of reflection on kind of what my role is in the industry in general. Obviously, I'm a creator. We do those things, right? But quite a few of my friends were soon to be moms and or just new moms. And you know, this is really the first time I had kind of seen like more than one mom in a space that I'm in this industry. And I really was thinking about how difficult it was for me, especially in those early days when my daughter was baby, and how isolated I felt during that entire time. I had quite a few women friends in the industry and companions, but most of them were childless. In fact, I don't know that any of them had kids, if I'm being honest. I didn't have anybody to talk to or to bounce these unique challenges that we face as moms in this industry. Like, I felt like I was treading like uncharted waters the whole time. So Amanda Russell was at Camp MoGraph last year.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. From Cream.
She's incredible, right?
Yes.
She was up on that stage and they were asking her all kinds of questions. And I remember that this was the first time I had seen a mom on a stage talking about her life and what she's done in this industry and how dang successful she was at it. So I raised my hand. I was so nervous. Oh my God, I was shaking. And I raised my hand and I asked a question. And I was like, how are you doing it? How are you juggling your family life and your career? Cause I'm struggling. And she had given me an answer, but it was kind of an answer like, well, I don't really know, you know? So, I reached out to her after and I had let her know how impactful that moment was for me, because it was truly the first time I had seen myself in somebody on a stage like that. So fast forward another year and I'm still thinking about these things, and I knew there had to be other moms out there, but it was really hard to find them. I think a lot of moms are not necessarily bragging about being moms in this industry because it could potentially affect whether they get hired for a job or not, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. It's interesting. And in a way, it's good to set the stage in that perspective, right? Because the two of you are really calling out this idea of mothers in motion, right? And what it means to be a parent, but specifically a mother in this industry. And the, I don't know whether it would be, if it's right to word to say to burden or, I don't know, life balance or whatever that thing is that's pulling us in multiple directions. And in a very unfair way, the industry is very demanding on our personal time as well as our professional time. And from an outsider, now honestly being a consultant for 20 years and coming up against this question over and over again, is can you do both? Can you be a parent, a mother in a space and produce motion graphics with the demands of the, at the professional level that we're all, that you're operating on? And that's the hard part, right? Jenny, it looks like you're about to say something.
So I think one of the things that really drew me to this conversation was the fact that I just kept on hearing so often that there is an either or, and you either have kids and you drop out and, you know, or you have kids and you become a successful motion designer, animator, VFX, whatever, but you don't have kids. And it was like very black and white, and like so many people coming into the industry, that's just, I kept on hearing that. That was really frustrating to me because it shouldn't be an either or. It shouldn't be your career defining whether you want to be a parent or not. It should be you, nobody else, just you. And I don't think that men have the same ultimatum put in front of them. And
yeah, it doesn't feel that way.
No, and we see it a lot.
I mean, there's a biological factor. We're not out of commission biologically for months.
Absolutely. I'm not putting any blame on it. It's just a fact. Oh, yeah. It's just, there is an ultimatum that you feel going into like an intense career, especially one where the hours are ridiculous and, you know, you're expected to work 14 and 15 hour days without complaint. And it's just not feasible.
So is that the why? Because of the demand that's put on people in the industry and the demand itself, a 10, 12, sometimes 14 hour day, you need to commit to just one track and you can't commit to multiple tracks? Or is there a cultural pressure that doesn't recognize it?
I mean, I think it's part of it. I don't think there's like one thing to blame. I mean, it's interesting. I was just reading, there's a Nobel Prize winner last week. She's a woman, and she was talking about like the pay gap and stuff like that. And she was talking about how you're expected to, you have to work a certain amount of hours and at a specific time of the day in order to get ahead. And as mothers, we can't always do that. And Casey and I have talked about this multiple times, where that's why I think a lot of mothers go into freelance in motion design, because it's so much more flexible and because there's so much opportunity to work your own hours and set your own goals. And like, I know I left my full-time job when my daughter was, I think she must've been 2 at the time, but because I couldn't commute for an hour every day back and forth. I couldn't leave with my head held high so that I can go pick her up from daycare.
Right.
She was sick, and I know daycare is like germ galore, and they're like home. It's like the epidemic. It's like, so you're home, every other day, or, you know, you're getting called out, and it became very hard to give my kid to somebody else to take care of when I was going to a job that I didn't necessarily love. And it just didn't make sense anymore. And I think a lot of women feel that way. And I think that's the reason why there are a lot of female freelancers.
I can't tell you how many times, I mean, I know specifically in 2007, one of my very first studios that I worked with as a consultant was asking me to negotiate with their executive producer who had just had a kid. And this woman asked if she could have 3 months off. And small agency, doesn't have a lot of resources, can't afford to pay 2 executive producers at the same time. There's a demand for the executive producer to keep on bringing in work to be the sales leader. and how do we do it? How do we get everything we need to get done? You know, have this feast and famine work style that we often have as studio owners, and then support somebody who is, you know, I could use 20 more hours, even if they're working 80 hours, I could use 20 more hours of their time if they would give it to me. And how do I support that? And there is almost a demand structure in the workforce that's drawing against it. And our conclusion was, we're going to have to live within the limits that we can produce. In a lot of ways, it started my thinking of your expenses should match your revenue, not always get more and more revenue, not try to achieve more and more and more, thinking that's the result. We have to kind of live within the limits. So if this is a priority for the studio, we need to make that an expense that we can cover. Still not comfortable, but that's, I mean, come on, that's like 16 years that I've been hearing about this issue. And I feel like there isn't any real progress. Even with stay-at-home work, it doesn't seem to be changing very much.
I think, again, like that's another one of the reasons why it was important to us to start this group, just to create some awareness and create empathy for people that are, you know, trying really hard to stay with their careers and progress and be really successful. And, you know, that's why it's like small chicks. If we can make enough noise, then we can get to people that have enough say in the industry and start and we can actually start making like actual changes. And this doesn't have to be for mothers. I mean, I think disproportionately it affects mothers more. But work-life balance should be something that we all strive for.
Yeah.
This industry does not allow for that. And I think we are, if we can set the seed and let that sit with some companies now, perhaps in the future, we will start seeing that change. And I'm in Canada, we have various generous mat leaves, but even in the Slack, there's a lot of Slack channels out there for women and for motion designers and whatever, and there's parenting ones, and the amount of times that leading up to starting Mothers of MoGraph that I saw somebody saying that they were let go legally, quotation, because they went on mat leave, or they were restructuring, which is a word that they like to use when women go on mat leave. It's heartbreaking.
Thanks for listening to the Rev Thinking Podcast. If you're not already a member of Rev Community, please join us today. You'll find unexpected support, tap into a network of other business owners, and leverage uncommon resources specifically for you, the studio owner. You can join us right now at revthink.com/community. So Casey, when you think about the advocacy, it sounds like you are adding a layer to it too, not just having a voice that says, let's make change, but yours was a person-to-person understanding of, I can relate to you as well. It's a care group as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew what I was, you know, successful in at the time. So I know that it can be done. And then seeing Amanda up on the stage and like running Cream Studio, which is an incredible studio, it just reinforced for me that like, we need to let people know that this can be, that it is possible. It can be done. Actually, motion is a great place to be for a mom, in my opinion. I can work from home. So I, you know, like if I have to run out and grab whatever I need to grab real quick, I can do that. I can, especially when I was freelancing, the flexibility of being able to work in the hours that I am able to work in was invaluable. You know, I could put her to bed and then come in and do another 3 or 4 hours of uninterrupted work. And I think being a mom, you develop a really unique set of skills. And I think that those are worth investing in. So you were talking about, you know, this woman who wanted 3 months off. Well, I currently am working a full-time role at an ad agency. And we just had someone in our department who had a baby, and she was gone for 3 months. And I would argue that it's a great investment, honestly, because I don't think there was anyone else that could do the job the way that she does it. Mm-hmm. She's incredible. And when she came back, she was full of fire. She was ready to go.
Sure.
And I think, you know, these skills that we develop, there's definitely a unique set. For me, I know that I can multitask better than I ever have before. I have the patience of a saint these days.
Children will teach you
patience. Yes. They're also very honest. So you get a good look at yourself. And there's also, for me, I feel like I'm able to predict what needs are ahead of time because of where I am now. And that transfers to client work. I am really great at getting ahead of what my clients want these days because of the skills I have, nice. You know?
Yeah.
So I like part of what I wanted and what Jenny wants too for mom is not only to get some of these women more visible in the industry, but to bring awareness to like, yes, we have a really unique set of challenges, but we also have a really unique set of successes and skills. So that for me is really important.
There's something really amazing what you're saying. It kind of changes the rules. And I think that's what we're saying here is that when given life opportunities, people will learn something and we should lean into whatever that gift is, whatever that new genius growth maturity that they've taken on, lean into that and recognize that as a new way of doing business, instead of trying to hold things back to, I don't know what the word might mean, normal or traditional. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a parent. I have 5 kids.
Wow.
They are all boys. So I have 5 boys over a 10-year period. Wow. Yeah. And my wife was working with me at Imaginary Forces when she was pregnant with her first kid. And then, as you can imagine, when it came time for us to have our family, she stayed at home. That's how we could have 5 kids, I think, is part of it. She's an amazing stay-at-home lady. And we were able to grow our family, but that decision point, I remember that very clearly. And for us, it was an easy decision. It was a life understanding that she always desired. It's something great for her. But, after about, I'll say our second kid was born, I had asked the question, wait a second, what kind of parent am I going to be? Because I was working 100-hour weeks. And I remember specifically my wife was pulling out of a Mothers in Me class or Parent in Me class that was happening on Friday mornings. And I went to the owners and I said, can I just take off Friday mornings and go do this class with my kid? And they let me do it. Just take a 3-hour break in the morning, go there. I was the only dad in the entire class, but what an amazing difference. And it really started changing who I was as a person at the company because I was, in a way, acting out a different life balance than this, as you can imagine, crazy, crazy, I don't know, but it'd be gravity field pulling us towards more and more desire to be famous or put in more hours and get more opportunity or whatever that is that you also kind of need to manage in your career.
So for me and my family, we ended up in a little bit of a different scenario where my husband first was the one working full time when my daughter was born. And then the pandemic hit and it was pretty scary at first. Obviously, we were all scared about whether we were going to work or not, but the work picked up really quick for me. And then we were in a position where we actually decided that he was going to be the one to stay home and be the primary parent at home. And he still is. He has a part-time job now, but he works a job where he drops my kiddo off at school. Goes to work, he's home before she gets here. It's like kind of a really perfect situation, honestly, and we're really lucky to have that.
Yeah.
But you know, that it's funny the things that come with that, and I know like the challenges that he faces are kind of interesting too. There's a lot of stigma around men staying home with their kids, and he faces some ridicule sometimes, and you know, sometimes not being taken seriously as the primary parent. Yeah, like,
and when from he's family members, usually it's people that are closest to you. Sometimes are the ones creating the biggest criticism. Yeah.
So it's really interesting to hear your story, and then also like I'm kind of on the flip side of that, and I've had to work really hard to set boundaries in my work. And in fact, I've made decisions completely revolving around the fact that we have a family. I've made lots of career choices based on the fact that I'm a mom. So
yeah, I what happened to me in the long run is actually just quit for life issues. And I honestly quit the entire industry. That's when I went to seminary, changed everything I was going to do. And out of that came Rev Think, where I kind of realized, serving in a different capacity But in a way, the same thing we're talking about is I had to change the rules for my own life. I had to re-engage this industry with different priorities, different position completely. I'm not producing opening credit sequences like I used to, or, you know, getting into commercial work, or even doing TV show production that I really, really wanted to do when I started this industry, but I found a good position for me. But I think our overall desire is we don't want to have everybody change all of their career trajectory. Can't we do what we already love and do and be accepted in that position?
I think it's also about creating like a conversation about like goals change. You know, when I started in this industry, I was going to work with like, I don't know, whoever in California, and like that didn't happen, but it very quickly did not, it wasn't my dream anymore. So, and not necessarily, actually it was because of I knew we wanted to start a family, so I didn't want to have to like travel across the country. But yeah, I think goals change. And I know Casey and I have each taken jobs because we wanted to start a family or because of the specific situation we were in at any given point. And having a space to like talk through that and talk through those decisions and share dreams with people that are going through the same things as we are, and they fully understand maybe taking a job that we don't necessarily want, but it gives us stability. And there's no judgment. It's just, the Slack's been amazing. It's the amount of support coming from different women, and some women, including myself and Casey, have shared really personal things about our lives. Things that I had never spoke about with anybody in our industry. I've been able to let that go, and it's a huge weight off of my shoulders to be able to talk without judgment and without comparison. Mm-hmm.
So teach me, because it's when you talk about this story, it sounds like it's the stages of grief. There, you had a desire for something, and specifically, parenthood for you is the exact tipping point. So you can identify the moment where you realize the career I thought I was going to have might not be exactly that. And that is a turning point. And it's good to have support during that time. Tell me what that's like.
Well, I don't know. Like, do you feel like opening Rav is grief? I don't think that.
Well, I guess I'm in like loss. You know, like when you have a dream, often I feel like grief comes from, I had a desire for one thing, and then then reality hits. And, you know, it was just an imaginary idea of a career anyway. Yeah. There's no guarantee it was going to happen.
Absolutely. Right.
But many of us live it out. And then at 50, we look back and say, I didn't have the career I wanted to. But there's moments where that's the moment I couldn't pursue my Los Angeles, you know, desire.
Right,
I don't think that I have grief. I think like I've been very lucky and privileged to have the opportunity to really ask myself, is this what I want? And why is this what I want? Do I want my name on credits of a movie, or do I want like financial stability and freedom and work-life balance? You know, you talk about like on the Rev podcast, you guys talk a lot about positioning and understanding like your goals and your purpose. And like my purpose changed from when I was 20, thinking that, you know, being a VFX artist for like Iron Man was like the top of the world. But now I understand that that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've made it or that you're successful. Yeah. It just, you know,
it's not defining you.
It's not defining me. Yeah. And I think the way that I run my business now is I feel like I'm much more successful than I ever had thought I would be.
That's awesome.
And now I understand that I can be a lot more successful than I ever imagined. So
then what is the community talk, Casey? Like what's happening where you guys are sharing your life story? What does that allow for? If it's, and maybe each of you might have different experience, but if it's not grief experience or just processing, hey, I wanted something differently, did you have the same experience as me, kind of processing, what is that community allowing for you to take advantage of?
So the community, like the Slack community itself, is a place where we can all kind of commiserate. And honestly, for me, the most valuable thing I've had out of the Slack community has been witnessing all of the successes, because there's incredible women in this group. They are, one said that she was like doing motion for the Drew Barrymore show. I mean, we've got Sarah Beth Morgan in here. We've got Haley in here. There's amazing, amazing talent and women in here. So for me, it's like being able to see how many people have not only done this, but they're doing it so well has been an invaluable kind of lesson for me. And I think it's helped my confidence in a lot of ways. And then beyond that, you know, we have our outward facing communities with the Instagram account and our newsletter. And I think that the rewarding thing there and what that's provided is that we're able to kind of get our stories out to the masses and beyond just the motherhood walls. You know, we're trying to break through those and get this information out to the entire community. And so that maybe some changes can be made in terms of work-life balance, and not just for us, but for everybody. And also just flexibility. I also want to piggyback off of what Jenny was saying about with the grief stuff, because I also have a similar story where when my daughter was born, my career definitely pivoted a sharp turn. I was working in VFX, and I was working on movies, and I was having my name in the titles of movies. And that's where I was when I decided to have my daughter. And I think at first I was a little bit sad about the pivot, but I realized, you know, that success can just look different for different people. And I was actually very successful after I left, and I was doing these other things. It was just a different kind of success, but it still felt good. You know, I was able to freelance and support my entire family as like the breadwinner. And that felt so good. And then beyond that, I think embracing being a mom has actually provided me more success in this last month, probably. than ever, because here I am, you know, doing podcasts with you. Here I am doing podcasts with Motion Hatch. You know, like Amanda Russell just talked about me and the mom story on the Adobe Max stage.
Amazing, like, by what? The way. What yeah. a great moment. Yes.
What? Yes. So I think actually embracing motherhood, which is something I have been so scared to do in my career, has actually provided more opportunity than I've ever had. So
it's very beautiful. The archetype I put there for maturity through our career, because I believe there are four major stages of our creative career. I often talk about them being fame, fortune, and freedom. And in a way, I think the first desire, working at the famous company, getting our name in credits, is our immature self, but it's externally what we're trying to do. And it gives us the desire to lean in and go after something, because it's very apparent. It's very obvious. And the feedback is really, really great. But after a while, we have to actually start making money. We actually want a family. We're great to have a house, and we can't just give it all away for cheap. So we almost pick up a skill, a specialty, and we grow it, or we start a business and we lean into that. It seems to me that the two of you are recognizing this opportunity for freedom isn't necessarily what you might think in an immature way, which is I could choose my clients and I'm the only person that decides the creative direction. That's never true. Never, not any position anywhere gets to choose no. all of it all by themselves. But what it is a way of structuring who you are specifically and how you engage this industry, this service and offerings you put out there. And this really great thing of freedom is the first stage of our career that involves community. It's this thought of like, the minute I give it away is the minute I have more freedom, because I'm using more influence to make things happen. And I feel like the two of you are recognizing that is one of the great moments of having a voice in this specific area.
Yeah, I mean, having a community that gets it, fully gets it, is really wonderful. And I don't know what I expected from the Slack, but I'm really grateful that it exists now. And yeah, it's absolutely that understanding that my freedom is more valuable than any of my previous naive dreams were. Is like, I mean, I go on school trips with my daughter, and you know, I pick her up when I need to, and we go to the doctors and we go whatever. It's like, that's priceless. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. So I am so curious about some of this stuff. You have to teach me, because I love this industry. I love the people of this industry. Mm-hmm. I specifically believe that we are called for our time and our people for a specific purpose. So I know we're given these moments, and you've somewhat discovered, at least, you know, at this moment, a voice that needs to be heard. Mm-hmm. But in nearly 20 years of being a consultant, I have worked with mothers, and they are business owners. They are often, you know, with their husband as a partner in their business. I want to say more than half the time, a woman business owner has a partner. Sometimes their spouse, but sometimes another person. They're rarely solo. But I have worked with solo women business owners who are also mothers. Why don't you know about that? Why is it just being seen today when it seems like it's been around for a while?
Now, I have some theories on that.
Yeah, I hear it. That's why I asked you the question.
Yeah. I mean, I think I kind of touched on my thoughts on that a little bit earlier about, you know, there are these preconceived thoughts about moms as employees, that we are going to have to leave at 4 o'clock to go pick up our kid, that we are going to have to stay home for sick days, those kinds of things. And I think that might influence a decision on whether you're going to hire a mom or not, or those kind of things. So I think that a lot of times, and not always, because I'm certainly not one of them, but a lot of times I think moms are not necessarily broadcasting that they're moms. It's not something that they are, you know, shouting, but
even the business owner mom, is the business owner mom afraid she's showing weakness if she says, I care about my family more than I care about the company I'm running?
Well, let's take, you know, I'm speaking on her behalf, but like, let's take Amanda Russell, for example. I mean, she's got this amazing studio. She has two amazing partners. It's run, there's three of them, so it's two women and one man. And up until 2021, they never mentioned that there were women running the show. Like, you know, so like, why didn't they speak up? Because they were afraid. They didn't want to be taken less seriously. They didn't want their achievements to be stifled by the fact that they, you know, that, oh, it's just because they're, you know, they're women or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
they didn't want like free credit for
being. They didn't want free credit.
They wanted to earn their place like equally.
They wanted to be seen differently no matter what. They just wanted to mm-hmm. be a business owner and not have any other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you know, take LinkedIn, for example, like scowl through it. See how many times you see a dad saying something, something dad and proud father, and then scowl through and see how many times you see something, something proud mom.
Wait, tell me about that. You're saying that men will say I'm a proud father, but women will not say I'm a proud father.
Really? Absolutely. I mean, there's like a silly TikTok video of a woman that's obviously like the main caregiver and doing a bunch of stuff at home. And then, you know, her husband comes in and like puts the dishes away or picks up the phone to the school. And everybody's like, oh, you're such a great dad. And she's like, wait, what? Like laundry list of things that she's done in the last 5 minutes.
No, that's not even a joke. My wife will prepare every ounce of the meat. She gives it to me for 40 minutes or 10 minutes while I put it on a barbecue and I get all the credit for cooking it. It's almost ridiculous. It's an ongoing joke in our family, but there is a funny moment.
It is a joke, but but it's not. It's
it's also reality.
That's why it's funny.
Like there's so many times that, you know, we women don't get credit for the amount of effort and work that they put into building families. It's a given to people in our society. Like, you know, oh, that's what she should be doing. And then, you know, when I hate doing this distinction with moms and dads. Like I'm generalizing and like whatever, but.
Well, you are mothers of motion. It's okay if we talk about mothers specifically for this podcast. Okay. Yeah. I'll do the dad thing with you. We need a dad in here, but you're doing just fine. Yeah.
I was just going to say, we can only speak to our experience too, you know, like, so we're not trying to speak for for the fathers of the industry. I know that being a parent in any capacity is difficult. We're just trying to explain like what we are facing. Cause I think that you don't see it.
Casey, if you knew me personally, this is killing me because I want to think that I have compassion and understanding, but I also know I'm a fool if I even try to pretend like I know what it's like to be a mother. That's why I'm curious. I think I've only had a few honest conversations over the last years. And again, most people I talk to are business owners. So these are people that are asking me to help them solve some life balance issues, and I get to kind of hear directly from them. Mm-hmm. But it's
time management, being more flexible with time. Time doesn't have to be 9 to 5.
It's this conversion to weakness. It seems like a couple of times in our conversation so far, there's a thought process of, if I said this, I would be perceived as weak. Or if I ask for time off, I'm perceived as weak or needy or have a different label on me than just a person who gets the stuff done. And in Casey's case, she's even saying, I get it done ahead of time. What are you talking about? I'm good. Forget about like everybody being normal. I'm beyond that, right? Mm-hmm. So there is something that is unspoken that feels like it's put judgment on.
Certainly.
On this situation.
I mean, for me, a lot of my thoughts on these is based on experience and what I've seen. So like I had a job where I watched a woman actually lose her job because the owner found out that she was pregnant, and that's totally illegal, but it's really hard to fight, right? Especially here out here in Oregon, it's a at-will state. They can fire you for whatever they want and they don't have to give you a reason. So it's really hard to prove that that was the reason. But like, it was pretty apparent from everyone else in the room that was the reason, because she was incredible at her job. She was in HR and she did such a great job. And then beyond that, you know, like I know Jenny has spoken about her experience of like needing to get out the door to go do something for your kiddo and having those looks, those speculations of you, like getting the judgments. Like we feel that. We're already putting it on upon ourselves, like so much, like mom guilt is like no joke. But then we're also getting these outside judgments and reflections on things. So it's based on experience for me. And I think for Jenny too, but
my wife would get this, this look from the other ladies and say like, oh, well, I'm not super mom like you. So maybe, and my wife would go like, we're talking about super mom. Like it's hard. Like everything I do is hard. It might look easy, but it's difficult or it's hard or it's, you know, it takes a lot of dedication. And she often felt like the criticism was coming from other ladies. And I don't know. Yeah. You're both shaking your head. I don't know why, what's happening there that now that you have a voice of community together that needs to be said to one another of let's stop doing that to each other.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I think I started realizing that before Mothers of MoGraph, but you know, it's, if you look back, you know, my teenager years were in the 90s. And if you look at the girl movies, that came out at the time, that girls were always pitted against each other. There was always like the popular group. And then there was the ugly, whatever girl.
The nerd with glasses.
Yeah. Nerd with me, basically.
Just take your glasses off. You'll be beautiful.
Yeah. Put my glasses on so I can fit right along with you.
It was always like, you know, women were pitted against each other and like the cat fight and all of these things. There was never a movie but like camaraderie and helping each other out. And I'm really tired of that because I love working with women. In fact, I try to work with women all the time, but I think you get to a certain age where you realize like it's not a competition and I don't have to be the most popular kid and it's okay to push others forward as well as myself and we can do that together.
My wife found a group called MOPS, Mother of Preschoolers.
That's cute.
I love that.
And it was great. And part of that structure is they have these mentor moms, basically women who are dedicating their time but also telling the stories of you'll get through it. You're like, this preschooler is driving you crazy, but you'll make it through the other side. And I feel like you guys are saying that's what the community is providing you right now is people at different stages that are encouraging people before they become mothers, while they're currently mothers, how to navigate some career choices and even some success opportunities that give you that structure that, okay, there are other ways of doing this, other ways of resetting the field. Make up my own rules.
Yeah, I just want to put a point on that. Like, that was really important to both of us. When we started the Slack channel, we had it open for all. Our thoughts were like, if we can get the word out as much as possible, then like, you know, everybody should join and hear these conversations. But we realized based on some feedback from the community that wasn't working for everybody. But I was really adamant in keeping the Slack channel open for women that had not yet made a decision whether they wanted to be parents or not. That was really, really important to me because this whole thing's like part of the statement, part of like my feelings for opening Mothers of Gold, it was that either or mentality. And I wanted them to be able to see like, no, there are really successful women in this industry, successful women in this industry, and their mothers and their parents and their caregivers. And they're, you know, just so many. And that was incredibly important to both me and Casey. And I'm really proud of that. And I'm really proud of the space that we've given women in all parts of their journey, trying and not trying and thinking and whatever. And
solo momming. Like,
Oh yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Okay. So I want to keep on talking. Like I have so much to learn, but there is, I think we've gone beyond our usual, whatever the time length format is for this conversation so far. So there's a couple of things that you've been mentioning that I need to at least get out there before we wrap up the conversation. And one is there's clearly a Slack channel. How would somebody join your group right now and be part of that Slack group?
So we put the Slack, we had to make a form. So we do have to, we do ask a question so that people can join. And if you just answer, it's on the Instagram channel, which is Mothers of MoGraph. In our bio, you can find the form.
And I've been saying Mothers of Motion, but it's Mothers of MoGraph.
Mothers of MoGraph. So yeah.
And I find it on Instagram only, or do you have a website that they could go to?
Right now it's on Instagram. Our website is Mothers of MoGraph. .com, which will lead you to the newsletter.
It actually has all the links on it.
It does have all the links.
Yeah. So you can get to our Instagram, our Slack channel, the newsletter, and I think our LinkedIn maybe. I don't remember. It's got all of the links on that at that website. That
landing. And we'll have that information in our show notes. And obviously if you're a member of Rev Community, you're already seen the post, but we'll make sure that's prominent as we launch this podcast. You ladies are also part of the Rev Community in the Lady Bosses separate workout group, which has 60 business owners as part, 60 lady business owners as part of that breakout group. So there's also some momentum going on there and information in that breakout group as well. Okay, so here's the other big thing that we want to do for Rev Think. We want to have a live event. And the sad thing is, trust me, this makes me really sad because I'm a total extrovert. I know I can't throw it. I can't throw a ladies only event. There's a really weird barrier I have in making that happen. So I'm going to need your help to pulling this together. But I think what's part of this is this conversation is only 1 hour long and I feel like we're just getting started. And the better conversations happen at the hotel bar anyway, at a live event, right? Like it's when you get to meet each other for real and walk up to Amanda Russell at the conference and what have you. Could we work on that together? Could we put something together for early 2024 and find a location and get the women, Mothers of MoGraph together?
I mean, I'd love to. Casey and I have never actually met in person, so
I should introduce the two of you.
Yeah. So it would be, I would love to see as many moms as possible, but I also recognize that it's hard as mothers to get out to conferences sometimes. I know from my own experience, I kind of have to pick and choose my opportunities. And I'm whatever you need. Like, we would love to have this happen. We would love to see.
And we have this thing called cohort dinners where we have different events in different cities. So maybe there's a few events that we can get to local places, and it's only a few hours of dedication, but if you're a women business owner, shut down your business that day and then have everybody go.
I'd love it.
That would be amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Come on. Taking way too long.
What do you need?
I need a different voice than my voice saying this event is what I need. Yeah. I've been trying to pull this together for years, to be honest. But you guys give me the catalyst.
We are getting really good at being really loud. So,
We've pushed every comfort zone. I think Jenny and I have in the last 1 month. I've never done an Instagram live before. That's something we're trying to do regularly at our Instagram account. And I have never really spoken in front of a crowd. I have never, gone on a podcast before. And I feel like, and I am very similar to like what Amanda was saying at the Adobe thing, where I am just riddled with anxiety. So we have been pushing ourselves so hard and so far out of these comfort zones to do this. So,
well, can I, on behalf of others, thank you too for being that voice and starting this group. I personally know what it's like to put yourself out there and then know and find that need, but this is just so wonderful. And it's a beautiful thing of life. It's something that if you are a parent, you know how amazing it is and you don't want anything to distract you from parenthood, but you also love what you do for a living. You're gifted and talented in that area. You have every ability and capability of still doing both things. Let's be realistic and put these priorities together. This would be awesome. So I just thank you. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Thank you. We appreciate your support. You've been really supportive from the beginning and I really appreciate it. We both really appreciate it.
I have to say that, like, and this is actually a really important thing that I think is important to get out there, that the support and the love and like from every corner of the industry has been incredible. It was unexpected, honestly. I was actually very scared to, and I think that's why it took me so long to start something, was I was very scared of backlash or what people might think, that we were attacking, you know, the other side of things, but that's not at all what this mission is about. And so I was very, very scared, but the amount of men, women, business owners, like everybody who's come around and said, we want to support this initiative it's been honestly insane. Like I could have never predicted. So thank you to the community.
Definitely. Thank you to everyone that's supporting this. And congratulations to two of you on being the catalyst to make something happen. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
The minute I saw your post, Jenny, I'm like,
yeah, this I know is you were. I have you, to. It was literally within minutes you reached out. So
it's a voice that's been in my head for way too many years. And when you gave me the moment to reach out and say hello to you and start making something happen, it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm we're good.
Thank you both very much, Casey, Jenny, all the work that you're doing. We'll have information in the show notes. People can follow that. If you're looking for more information, you can always go to revthink.com/community, join community and find out information there. And of course, if you are a business owner out there and there's more information you want to have, reach out to these two ladies and find out what you can do more to make something happen. There's obviously a lot of great conversation taking place and good things that we can learn. And thank you both for teaching me today. I need to learn this. I want to pretend like I know everything, but I promise you there's a lot I still need to learn. And I appreciate you both giving me that time and patience to teach me this.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Producing this podcast is an investment of time and money. So if you like it, please leave us feedback and tell others so that they can enjoy it as well. For more about me, Tim Thompson, or our RevThinking team, go to revthink.com and learn more about RevThink. I want to tell you about a place to connect that you might not know about. It's our online community called Rev Community. It's a great place to get to know other creative business owners like yourself, to share some thought leadership and read other encouragement, to be challenged in this new marketplace, new technology, ideas, economic trends. And it's a place to research. Check out many of the resources we have online, our videos, and of course, this podcast. Join us today at revthink.com/community. If you're a creative studio owner, feel free to join us today at revthink.com/community. I look forward to seeing you there.